Weekend Huddle here on 102.5 The Game, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Good Saturday morning to you, Nashville. Happy game day to those who celebrate. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly here with you today on this just beautiful weather of day. Not actually. Hope you were very safe throughout the night last night. I know there were storms in the area. Of course, if you were listening last night to myself and Parker Kelly on the Game Blitz, there wasn't much of a Game Blitz to have. It was kind of just wait-and-see mode, and a lot of high school games are underway tonight as things will start to clear up tonight. But I want to start with this. First off, hi, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning. Okay, Parker's just not going to say
good morning. Good morning. It is a beautiful day outside. I don't even care that it's raining. It's a beautiful day. College football's on. Football all weekend.
It's a good day.
Beautiful day.
A rainy day like this, it's a good day to hunker down and just lock yourself indoors and watch football all day, which is what I would do anyway. But today is the perfect day for it. We didn't get to it last night, so I want to provide our listeners last night that were tuning in for high school scores at least one update. Blackman and Riverdale, the game of the week, in my opinion, seemingly lived up to that expectation after a two-hour rain delay or lightning delay. Blackman takes out the win on the road, 17-10 over Riverdale. So Matt Kreisky gets the win over Will Kreisky. After the whistle, as is usual, in what I believe they call the backyard brawl, there was, in fact, a backyard brawl. There was a fight. So football's back.
Back in full swing.
Yes.
Full swing is in a right hook, maybe.
But that's a big win for Blackman on the road. Riverdale, on paper, I think is probably the better team. And to go in to their home environment, take them down, that's a big win for your schedule. They moved to 3-0. Riverdale now goes down to 2-1. So there's our one high school update we can give you. Since we could not provide you with them last night, we'll give you that one tonight. Also last night, there was an NFL game, gentlemen. Live on YouTube from Brazil, the Chiefs and the Chargers. The Chargers pull out the win, 27-21. It was a semi-rough showing from Patrick Mahomes. Didn't have any turnovers, but just did not have any help in the wide receiver department. Xavier Worthy goes down early and did not return in that game. Receiving-wise, I mean, Hollywood Brown had 10 catches for 99. He was about the only bright spot for the entire receiving core. You had Juju, who had 5 for 55. Travis Kelce had a touchdown, 2 catches, 47 yards. Tyquan Thornton, 2 catches for 41. Kareem Hunt, who I forgot was a Kansas City Chief, 2 catches for 10 yards. And outside of that, it's a bunch of no-name guys you'll never hear from again. What do we make of that? Is the era of the Chiefs dynasty finally coming to an end with the makeup of this current offensive roster?
No, I don't, because this Chiefs team can find anybody off the street and use them as a gadget guy. I mean, I think it was more of a feeling out process in week one for the Chiefs. They'll be back to their normal strength when it comes to week three, week four. I mean, all these guys that kind of played last night, you could kind of say it was their full, I guess, welcome to the NFL season moment, because a lot of these guys didn't really play in the preseason. Mm-hmm. So that's the best way to look at it. As for Xavier Worthy, like you mentioned, not having a lot of, you know, guys to throw to, that's somebody you're going to have to keep an eye on. I mean, Hollywood Brown, his fantasy, you know, value has gone up tremendously now because of that whole injury. So we'll see what happens. I think Travis Kelce is going to have to step it up once again. I mean, that's his 1-2 punch.
Yeah, and you mentioned Patrick Mahomes not having help in the pass-catching room. Well, he led the team in rushing. Patrick Mahomes had to lead the team in rushing because
had a rushing touchdown.
Isaiah Pacheco only had 5 carries for 25 yards. Kareem Hunt, 5 carries for 16 yards. And if it weren't for that big, long 50-yard reception that Hollywood Brown had, he doesn't provide much help either. And not to mention, Xavier Worthy left the game with a shoulder injury. So it was just kind of it was tough sledding for the Chiefs, but they've pulled victories out of their butts before. But let's flip it to the Chargers.
Yeah, it's about
Justin
to go there.
Herbert, I'm not even kidding when I say this, because I've been thinking about this morning, last night. I think that might have been the best game from Justin Herbert I've seen in his NFL career.
It was a very spread the wealth game from Justin Herbert. He wasn't targeting one guy in specific, but there was one guy in particular I was very impressed with, and he looks like, based on this one game, he's finally figuring it out. and that's Quentin Johnston. Had two touchdown catches, five catches for 79 yards on seven targets. Didn't have any major crucial drops in that game last night, so I was very impressed. As you see that big blue, that big beautiful blue field right behind me, it's Catterday to all my Kentucky friends who are listening. And it seems like there's a lot of them now because I've drawn them all here. But anyways, this Chargers offense looks like my bold prediction earlier in the season. Granted, we're one game in. But I told you, I think the Chargers are going to be a top three offense in the NFL this year. Based on last night's game, it looks like we're trending in that direction.
Yeah, and Harbaugh stays undefeated in week one games as an NFL coach, 2-0 with the Chargers. He has this team rolling on a different level. I don't know if it's solely on Justin Herbert, but the running back room, I like that 1-2 punch they have with Amarian Hampton and Najee Harris. There's something about Harbaugh and Vrabel. They just bring a different grit to their team.
Well, they bring in a lot of former Titans as well.
Well, that too. It just makes you wonder how come the Titans couldn't capitalize with those players. So they've figured out how to get the best out of those. But you're right, Connor. This and Parker, like Justin Herbert looked great last night. The Chargers could be that sleeper team in that division.
Yeah, and just watching this Chargers game last night, Quentin Johnston, him and Ladd McConkey, and not to mention Keenan Allen. How about Keenan Allen coming back after a weird pedestrian season with the Bears? That trio of receivers can really benefit Justin Herbert. Jim Harbaugh has a goal of getting Justin Herbert to the Hall of Fame, and I'm not going to overreact after one game, but it was very, very impressive. And I love how they were asked after the game, are you trying to make, is this a statement win for the Chargers? Are you trying to wake up the rest of the NFL? And they all were just like, it's another game. I love that mentality.
That's the mentality I think you need to have across all levels of football, right? I mean, college football, it's very easy to get swept away because if you lose one, you're probably a win or two away from missing your ultimate goal of making the playoffs. In the NFL, you can lose a couple stragglers, but in a division game like this, it's pretty much ever important. You want to get that early division lead in week one, and the Chargers did just that. So I'm very impressed with the Chargers. I think that is a sleeper team, not just in the AFC West, but the AFC as a whole.
Yeah, they kind of remind me of the Broncos last year. Broncos were a sleeper team for a lot of people. People didn't really know what Bo Nix would be like. And I think Justin Herbert, I mean, to Parker's point there, that was the best game he's probably seen. I'd have to agree with him. And I think if Herbert can produce like that week in and week out, I think he'd be the Bo Nix in some regard out of the AFC.
Because think about it, Justin Herbert's had two playoff appearances, both have been stinkers, and he's beaten Mahomes one time, but when he needed to make clutch plays, he made clutch plays, and that's something that we haven't seen. We know Justin Herbert's a very great quarterback, but is he going to take the next step to elite? I think this is a step in the right direction.
And that's the knock on him, right, that he can never get the job done. I don't think it's all entirely his fault. He had Brandon Staley as a coach, which is not ideal. I think Brandon Staley is a great coordinator. He's somewhere right now. It might be the Jets. But as a head coach, he's terrible. And he proved that with the ultimate choke job against the Jags a couple of years ago in the playoffs. And they had the Jags down by, you know, three scores. And then Jags come back and win it. So I don't think it's ultimately all Justin Herbert's fault. But I think this is the year they start to kind of piece it together and turn things around.
Yeah, I think Brandon Staley kind of hindered Justin Herbert's development a little bit just because the decision-making. If it's 4th and 5 or a 4th and 6, it's okay to punt it. Brandon Staley, it's okay to punt it. Like, you don't have to go for it every time.
You're not Cam Dable.
Yeah, exactly.
You're referring to the Oakland game to get into the playoff?
Yeah.
Man, that time management.
Like,
terrible.
It was awful.
Terrible.
All you had to do was tie.
Yeah.
You both get in, and then you go for it.
And more about Justin Herbert real quick. I feel like since Staley's been gone and he's kind of developed a new mentality under Harbaugh, it's almost like the run game for him, like scrambling, has changed tremendously. He becomes a little bit more intelligent with the ball in his hands. Would you agree?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I think when the Chargers have always had a talented roster, it seems like for the last 5 to 6 years, but when you're not getting the production on the field with the talent, usually it boils down to coaching. Now that they have a new coach in here, and Jim Harbaugh, who's been to a Super Bowl before, he's won a national championship in college, he's getting the most out of his players, and it's showing.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. You can text or call us if you want to weigh in on the conversation. Our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We're going to start something new today, fellas. And if you paid attention to our Twitter last night, we put out a poll question. We're going to be doing this every week. We're going to address it in the 10 o'clock hour. So if you haven't voted, go vote right now. But our poll question of the week is, who is the best quarterback in the NFC? Your options are Jalen Hurts, Jaden Daniels, Dak Prescott, or you can put other. But if you put other, I expect you to text in and explain who and why. We'll get to that in the 10 o'clock hour. But coming up next, we kind of touched on how Patrick Mahomes has no help in the wide receiver room, it seems like. I want to get into sort of a comparison I drew last night at 3 a.m. when I couldn't sleep because of the storms. Are Cam Ward and Patrick Mahomes in a similar wide receiver situation? Meaning neither one has more than one guy they can go to. Don't answer that right now. We'll get to that on the other side. You're on the Weekend Huddle. Connor Newt, Parker Kelly, Nick Frazier right here with you on 102.5 The Game. Today, the MTSU Blue Raiders will take on Wisconsin. The kickoff is at 3 p.m., and you can catch all the action on Totally Hits 93.3. Coverage is also available on the Totally Hits Nashville app and at TotallyHitsNashville.com. Jake Wallman just spinning it this morning. We are off to a great start.
I've been having that one in my back pocket.
I am
like really wanting to play that when it's raining like it is outside.
Fantastic.
And I walked out the door this morning, and I'm like, oh, buddy.
Today's a good day for some Smoky Mountain rain.
I'm loaded today, baby.
I mean, I am very impressed with that. That was great.
How can you not love Ronnie Millsap? I love Ronnie Millsap.
It's a great song.
Incredible.
Early 90s country in general is just fantastic.
You should play Rocky Mountain High next segment when we talk about Titans and Broncos.
That's a good idea, Parker. Thank you.
John Devers. Yep.
Just don't play that one song that has the word Rocky in it. I will ban you from the airwaves.
Even though it is the state song.
No. Yeah, I mean, we're on Tennessee radio, which would... I mean, it would suffice, but...
It's not profitable. So, we kind of touched on it last... First off, Weekend Huddle back here with you. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, Jake Wallman behind the glass. We kind of touched on it last segment, and I kind of want to tie this to the Titans situation. It's no secret that based on watching that game last night, you can tell Patrick Mahomes does not have the help in the wide receiver room. So, at 3 a.m. last night... because I could not sleep because of the storms. It was miserable. I started thinking, you know, on a lesser level, obviously the Chiefs are a Super Bowl contender every year. On a much lesser level, Cam Ward is somewhat in the same situation as Patrick Mahomes is with his receivers. And what I mean by that is Patrick Mahomes has Xavier Worthy, who I think is a young star in the making, but he's reliable. Cam Ward, of course, has Calvin Ridley, who is his go-to guy, a proven guy, a guy that he can trust. Outside of that, not much there. Now, I think there's different scenarios. Like, the Chiefs have these cheap veterans on their roster, and the Titans have a cheap veteran, and then the rest are all rookies. But you kind of look at it on paper, apples to apples, and compare, and you're like, this is kind of the same situation for Cam Ward. So my question to you is, how does Cam Ward rise above that? Because Patrick Mahomes last night seemed to sort of rise above that, despite losing. But he had a rushing touchdown. He had a pass touchdown to Travis Kelce. How does Cam Ward rise above that? And that starts on Sunday against Denver.
I mean, he just has to set the precedent that a lot of these younger wide receivers like Shamir Dike, even though he'll be more in the special teams aspect of it, but maybe they use him, especially Elik Iomanner. We've talked about him at nauseam at this point. If you're Cam Ward, you have to establish the young chemistry on that team. Sure, you still have Calvin Ridley. Sure, mm-hmm. You still have Van Jefferson and all that, Tyler Lockett. Those would be your safety nets in some regard. Maybe not Bryce Oliver, but you just have to establish that connection with the young core, because then that's what sets you over the top. That's what makes you that game wrecker in some regards as that quarterback. And hell, even if Cam Ward decides to use his legs, that makes him one of the best, you know, dual threat quarterbacks in the league. Because if you can use your legs in the NFL as a quarterback, you're already light years ahead of a lot of pocket passers for sure.
Quarterback is the most important position in all of sports, and it would be hard for anybody to change my mind on that.
Breaking news. Former quarterback thinks quarterback is the most important position.
Now that is out of the way, I mean, Patrick Mahomes, he's had a terrible offensive line the last 2 years, doesn't have a great receiving room. Cam Ward, the receiving room on paper, it's more so quantity over quality. The offensive line looks a lot better on paper, but what does Patrick Mahomes have? he has the it factor. So he doesn't have the pieces around him, but he's able to elevate them because that's just how good Patrick Mahomes is. Mm. So if Cam Ward has that same thing, then he should be able to elevate the people that are around him. We have to wait and find out to see, but if he does, then he will elevate the others around him.
I think it's going to be telling of what kind of quarterback Cam Ward is, right? Like you just mentioned, Patrick Mahomes is probably the best quarterback in the league. He has the it factor, and he can kind of elevate himself over that offense. This is kind of how we see what Cam Ward is made of. I don't think he has been perfectly surrounded by the guys that are going to elevate him and make him an all-pro quarterback in year one, but it's kind of a testament to see, all right, well, how does he work in a situation like this? Let's put him through the mud, test him through the waters, and put him with some unproven guys and see if he makes wine out of water. You know what I mean? So I think, kind of like Parker's saying, this is kind of how you prove to see if you've got your guy, right? You've got to see if he connects with, you know, he's going to connect with Calvin Ridley. We've seen that in action. But how does he elevate Elik Iomanner and Shimre Dike and even Bryce Oliver and guys like that that are unproven young talents but can make a name for themselves early on in their career with a young quarterback like this? That's where my head is at.
Yeah, and I kind of mentioned it yesterday because now that Dre Greenlaw is officially out, and I will stress this.
You love you some Dre Greenlaw.
No, I'm just saying he's just out, which is a huge piece of that Denver defense because now Cody Barton's with the Titans. I will say this ad nauseum, and I will say it again, again, and again. Cam Ward can establish his name in this league by exposing the middle of the field. This is the game to do it. It truly is. I mentioned a little bit about a Gunnar Helm yesterday, but even if Elik Iomanner takes a little drag route over the middle, that's exactly what you need. Because like I was saying, you can establish those young names, build that chemistry, and that will literally elevate you as a quarterback. It really will.
Going along with Frazier's point, Cam Ward does have an opportunity to make a big statement because Denver, some say they have the best defense in the league. I think they're a top three defense. Vance Joseph is very similar to Brian Flores, as the defensive coordinator in the Vikings, in this way, is that they love to blitz. Mm. They blitz 30% of the time last year. And quarterbacks are taught that when the defense does blitz, you throw into it because there's a vacated area to throw into. So if Cam Ward does that, he knows where his hot reads are. He knows when to get the ball out. He'll be fine. He'll be fine. Yep. And that will limit the opportunities to make turnovers, which would be huge.
Yeah, and I think he's going to make, and we'll get into this a lot more in the next segment, he's going to make some, quote, turnover-worthy plays. Plays that may not result in a turnover, but look to be the part. Like if he makes a bad read and the pass is just dropped. Or if he makes a fumble, but it's recovered by the offensive line or something like that. I think he's going to make some of those. How many? I'm not exactly sure. But you're going to see some of those. You're also going to see some flashes. Because you know what? He's the number one overall pick. He's your rookie quarterback. And you hope that you see flashes. But my key to this game going into tomorrow is how does he elevate the offense? Does he provide the X-factor tools that you hope a number one overall quarterback pick does? I would believe on paper, probably so. But like Patrick Mahomes, I'm kind of looking at this and thinking, okay, if Calvin Ridley is taken out of this game, how does he adapt? Is he finding Gunnar Helm in the red zone? Is he looking at Chigakonkwo? Is he going to try and connect with Elik Iomanner and, you know, those two make a name for themselves in that connection area? It's a matter of how does he compose himself in a situation when things start to go bad. And I think that's what separates a good quarterback from a great quarterback. So we'll see.
Indeed we will.
Yeah.
We'll see in due time.
No one, don't all speak at once.
We're all ready to press the mic on button. So
it's a loaded crowd today.
Yeah. I mean, it just he does have an opportunity to make a big statement. I'm very excited for 3:05 p.m. tomorrow. Very excited.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. You can get in on a conversation, text or call us. We await your answer. Coming up next, I kind of just alluded to it. Cam Ward, how many turnover-worthy plays will he have? And if he does, how does it negatively impact the Titans' chances against the Broncos on Sunday at 3:05 p.m. Central Time? That's coming up next. Weekend Huddle. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly here with you on 102.5 The Game. There we go. Weekend Huddle brought to you by LPL Financial Nashville and Patrick Conger. Financial planning for tomorrow so that you can enjoy today. Hey, tune in to Sports Talk 830 tonight. The Game Nashville app or thegamenashville.com for NASCAR coverage of the Enjoy Illinois 300 tomorrow. Not tonight. Tomorrow at 2 p.m. Coverage presented by Michael Waltrip Signature Floor. Rev up your day on the Michael Waltrip Signature Floor located on the third floor of Hank Williams Jr. Boogie Bar. Wall-to-wall sports, cold drinks, and great food to fuel the fun. Welcome back in Weekend Huddle. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly here with you discussing what Cam Ward's performance needs to look like Sunday against the Broncos in the afternoon. I heard DVD talking about this yesterday, and they didn't go super in-depth into it, so we're going to do that right now. They described Cam Ward having, quote, turnover-worthy plays, meaning Cam Ward makes a bad read, but the pass is dropped, or just overthrows his guy, but it's not interception, or fumbles and it's recovered by the Titans. Turnover-worthy plays, plays that don't result in a turnover, but are worthy of that. How many of those plays do you think Cam Ward will have? And if he does, how do you think that impacts the Titans' chances against the Broncos?
I mean, wasn't the line yesterday like 2.5, right?
Yeah, they set it at 2.5.
I don't want to go off that, but I'd say probably under, just because, you know, he's going to have some rookie mistakes. You could call him welcome to the NFL moments, but I don't think it'll be that bad. There's no way it can be that bad. I think he's smart enough to be, you know, everybody looks at him as a captain because he is, and as one of those team leaders, a team leader doesn't make that many mistakes. He just doesn't. You carry yourself differently. You see the game differently at a more intelligent level, at a higher level than a lot of other people. So you're consuming a lot of information. So with that, sure, maybe his mind might be working quicker than his hands, so he might have a few muff snaps. But besides that, I don't think there'll be a lot of turnovers for Cam Ward.
Yeah, I think he definitely throws one, and I could see him trying to take a chance against a really good Broncos defense and maybe getting away with another one. But I think he throws one interception, but if we're talking about turnover-worthy plays, I think there might be two.
Yeah, so, I think I'm right there with you. I think the line is very thin between 2 and 2.5, if that's what we're going with. I don't think it's going to be Will Levis-esque where he just goes out there and it's a flight risk every time he throws the ball and you think it's going to be turned over. I do think there's going to be some plays where you see that and you're like, oh boy, Cammy, slow it down a little bit. Then there's going to be plays where he goes out there because he's a rookie and he's the number one.
Cammy.
There's going to be some plays where he goes out there and he throws just an absolute beauty of a deep ball. And you're like, oh my God, Cam Ward, he's the future. Get him the gold jacket. And that's kind of the way that Titans fandom works, I guess. There were times with Will Levis last year where, especially in that Chicago game before all hell broke loose, he had a nice pass to, I believe it was DeAndre Hopkins, or was it Calvin Ridley? It was right at the end zone.
That was Chigakonkwo.
That was Chig.
You're right. Yep. Chigakonkwo. Yep. Thank you. Regardless, he had that pass, and you're like, oh my God, Will Levis, we picked the right guy. And then you saw what happened. And then we went out next week against the Jets, and that was the game where he passed to DeAndre Hopkins, and it was caught right outside the end zone. And you're like, oh my God, Will Levis, maybe the future. And then he rolls the ball to the side or down the field to Tajay Spears and results in a fumble. So you're going to see some mistakes. I don't think to the level of Will Levis, because Will Levis is an anomaly, and that dude will do anything but play football, apparently,
I mean,
correctly.
And maybe if they fix the crater in his shoulder, he might be good. Nobody knows.
Yeah, well, he's
probably
got
not.
I think he's more interested in investments than he is actual football.
Probably not.
Like, I think he went on, he was talking to Peyton and Eli one time, and he was asking Peyton, when do all the endorsements start coming in? In my career, and Peyton just kind of rolled his eyes.
That was at the Manning Passing Academy.
Oh.
You get the opportunity to ask the Mannings any question you want. You ask about marketing? Marketing yourself?
Yeah. He was like, how do I increase my market value? And Peyton just rolled his eyes. He's like, this is about football. You know that, right? So I don't think Will Levis is a bad person. Hell, he's a cat. I'll always represent Will Levis. However, I don't think he's an NFL quarterback. I don't know if he's good enough to be a backup in the NFL right now. Someone's going to take a flyer on him because he's young and they think, oh, we can fix him. But I don't know. He definitely isn't going to see the field here ever again. I genuinely don't know, given the flight risk he is, if some other team will take a flyer on him. But this isn't about Cam Ward. This is about, or it is about Cam Ward. This is not about Will Levis. This is about Cam Ward. I think if he has a solid game, like, God, I hate putting stat lines on, but if he throws for over 150 yards, two touchdowns, and an interception, I come out of that game and I feel good. Because I feel like, okay, he made his mistakes. He looked like a rookie. But I'm okay with him looking like a rookie in his first game in the NFL, as long as he shows some promise. And two touchdown passes to me is promise. So that's how I feel. I don't think we're going to be worried about turnover-worthy plays because I don't think there's going to be too many of them. I do think there will be a couple, but I don't think it's going to be Will Levis-like where everything is, oh my God, what are you doing?
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned two touchdowns. If I had to put a little stat line out there, I'd say probably say one touchdown for, I don't know, 215. 215 seems like a generous number. Mm-hmm. I think he'll kind of struggle in the first half just to get a feel of the game. And the second half, I think he kind of gets his rhythm under his belt and he starts, you know, feeling the game. And that's where that touchdown comes into play. I think when you look at this Titans offense, especially Cam Ward leading the helm of it all, you got to rely on those, you know, veteran wide receivers, Tyler Lockett, Calvin Ridley. Last segment we talked about, you know, the comparison with Patrick Mahomes. Like, does Cam Ward have any of those assets? He does. He just has to know how to utilize them properly. And I think when you target your veteran guys first, and then you can kind of incorporate your younger guys, and then you make the switch of, all right, now I start relying on the younger guys and the veterans, that's where you start to kind of set your precedent.
I'm not going to put a stat line out there because I don't have a clue. Uh-huh. Nor am I going to act like I do have a clue of what he's going to do tomorrow.
Yeah, I don't like putting the stat lines out there because it's not fair setting a benchmark for what he needs to do.
But I think it's just going to be, let's throw away from Pat Surtain. So I figure that he's going to travel with Calvin Ridley since this is the Titans' best receiver. That's going to open up opportunities for other guys like Alec Ayomaner, like a Tyler Lockett, like a Chig, like a Gunnar Helm. Mm-hmm. So I think it's just going to be wherever Pat Surtain is, throw away from him.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's probably a smart plan. Pat Surtain's the reigning defensive player of the year for a reason, right? Especially as a cornerback. It's hard to defend a guy like that, and when he's shadowing your best receiver, it's going to be difficult to spread the wealth. But that's where I think these turnover-worthy plays come in, is if you're trying to force it to him. And Pat is just lurking there, and he swats the ball away, or, you know, even, you know, picks it off. It could happen. So I think Cam Ward needs to be looking at spreading the wealth to Alec Ayomaner and Chim DK if he gets in, and Van Jefferson and guys like that. But the thing about Cam Ward is every play doesn't have to be a chunk play, right? This is the NFL. It's a fast moving sport. Hell, that last night's game, the first quarter was done in like 10 minutes. I was like, oh my God. You don't need a chunk play every game or every play. That's why you rely on your rushing attack. You rely on your short in routes. And that's where I think your slot receivers come into play, like Alec Ayomaner or like Van Jefferson. Tyler Lockett, you can run some out routes on the outside and, you know, probably pick up some decent yardage there. It's a matter of, okay, if we can draw Pat Surtain out, how does that affect the rest of the play? Are we looking up the middle, like you said? And I think that's probably a good plan because this will be the one week in week one where everyone is testing the waters. Everyone is seeing what they can and can't get away with. And I think with Pat Surtain on the outside guarding Calvin Ridley, I think it's going to open up the middle for routes to Alec Ayomaner and to Chim DK and Bryce Oliver.
And let's not forget, too, the run game. Remember, the Tides have always set their precedent on being a run-first team. And I feel like a lot of people have seen the Cam Ward effect of, man, this guy can really sling the ball. Like what you're saying, Connor, not every play has to be a chunk play. You can always incorporate a good run or two in there with Tony Pollard because he's that true pro. I think that's something that the Titans have kind of tried to find that identity with the lack of Derrick Henry now not on the team anymore. You have to try to incorporate and compensate from, you know, just not having that X factor. So I think having Tony Pollard in the backfield, you know, with some missing pieces for Denver, it'll kind of, I guess the best way to put it, frustrate Patrick Surtain in a roundabout way, because when the Titans start to beat and wear down your defense with the run game, it kind of wants to make the corners cheat in a little bit, which could mean a good one-on-one outside on the outside where maybe either if it's a Calvin Ridley or a Elijah Manning or whoever else is out there, they might could do, you know, a route that they get, you know, make a 1-2 move and they're gone. I mean, that's something that you got to always remember.
And if you're gutting them up the middle and you're forcing those corners to scoot in more, then it's bombs over Baghdad. So it's just it's pick your poison. But here's what I worry about with the Titans run game, because Tony Pollard is obviously going to have a huge workload in this game. He had a huge workload last year with Tajay Spears being injured on and off throughout the year. Khalil Mullings is questionable with an ankle, so we don't know what his workload is going to be. I think you're going to have to rely on Tony Pollard a lot, but I don't believe that that is going to be a sustainable option, because Tony Pollard played through an injury last year because he had to. And I don't think you want to be in that same situation this year.
No, you can't afford that. Let's get to some of your texts. Again, 615-737-1025 is our phone number if you want to chime in on the conversation. Our phone and text line is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 2622 says, I know the talk is on Cam Ward. I'm kind of not really worried about the offense. I think it's extremely upgraded from last year, but man, our defense, I'm extremely worried about there. I think that's a fair point. I don't want to put the term extremely upgraded on the offense, because it's not. It's still probably a bottom offense in the NFL on paper. The defense is where my worry is. That said, we talked about this a little bit yesterday, Frazier. I am not, on paper, super impressed with the Broncos offense. I don't think it's this fiery, you know, just going to bomb over you the entire game offense like some of the national media makes it out to be. That said, if you are not on your P's and Q's, they will. Bo Nix is a good quarterback. He's got some good young receivers. Troy Franklin out of Oregon, his former teammate, is a good receiver. Cortland Sutton is a serviceable receiver, but he can burn you if given the chance. Defense, I think, I agree with the texter, is probably more of my concern other than Cam Ward throughout this game on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, you also got to remember about Marvin Mims. He's now fully healthy to play. That's kind of Denver's gadget guy in the slot. It's just something you have to keep in mind there. Defensively, yeah, I am worried about this secondary. There's that whole thing about Kevin Winston Jr. with his whole ACL process, how it's kind of put at a setback right now just because, you know, the recovery didn't go as well. But then you look at L'Jarius Sneed and you wonder how much of a factor he's going to play in Sunday's game. Is Jarvis Brownlee going to be the same Jarvis Brownlee of last year?
Yep.
Like, you can be excited for all this, and they may look great in training camp, but this is the regular season now. I feel like a lot of guys sometimes have that, yeah, it's a ramping up process through training camp, but it sometimes doesn't transfer over into the regular season for some guys. It just, that switch just doesn't, it doesn't flip. So I don't know. I know I'm kind of talking in circles a little bit, but I'd be worried. If I'm a Titans fan, I would be worried about the defense and just be offensive heavy, kind of like college football. If you have a really good offense, have them run up the score because your defense is not going to compensate for that.
Mm.
TD and I, when we've been out at practice, the secondary just has not looked good.
Yeah.
It's not
I've
looked anywhere close to where we thought it might be in practice, bringing over guys like Xavier Woods and Jarvis Brownlee year two and things like that. We had Jeff Legwald, who covers the Broncos for ESPN NFL Nation, on talking with TD, and he said that Troy Franklin was actually probably one of their better performers in camp
the whole year.
So I expect to see him have a great year two in his second year in the NFL. I see this receiver room, even though it may not be what the Chargers have or what the Bengals might have, I still see this wide receiver room giving the Titans secondary fits. And I hope I'm wrong, but
I think that's just a
concern I have.
I think that's more of a concern of the lack of depth on the Titans secondary than it is for the actual talent of the Broncos wide receiver room. But should be an interesting game on Sunday, of course, the Titans debut, the Cam Ward debut era. Throw away the preseason. Preseason does not count. I will fight you to the death on that. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. You can text or call us if you want to get in on the conversation. But coming up next, Frazier, it's time for you to take over the show. I hope I hope you got something planned.
Should I be excited? Because I kind of am.
Are we going to talk Calcio?
No, not talking Calcio. I mean, I might preview a little bit of that if you want. But no, I talk a little Calcio. Hey, I got some rugby update for you.
Oh, yes.
Maybe some of that. I don't know.
The Australian rugby update. That's coming up next on the Fraser Files here on Weekend Huddle. Connor Newt, Nick Fraser, Parker Kelly. We'll be right back here on 102.5 The Game.
It's the Fraser Files.
Okay, Fraser. Yeah. I like this.
I'm digging that.
I like the cold open. I don't think we need lyrics. I think we just...
It was a soft touch. It's
all right. You kind of know. Michigan takes on Oklahoma today at 6:30 p.m. in our college football game of the week on Sports Talk 830, presented by Twin Peaks Restaurant and Circa Sportsbook Kentucky. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Weekend Huddle here on this Saturday morning. It's game day. Hope you're enjoying whatever tailgate you may be at for your college football team. But right now, it's time for Nick Fraser to take over the show. Go for it, my friend.
Thank you. Last night, I don't know if or it might have been the night before. I believe it was last night. I don't know if any of y'all saw this. You know, baseball kind of loses its luster when you get to the fall sports. Football
baseball
takes over.
Ended in like July for me.
Yeah. Well, last night, the Marlins and Phillies played, and there was a home run that went to left center field. And this lady, well, this kid had a miraculous home run catch. Good for him, right? This lady stole the baseball from him, and she ran off with it.
Wait, stole it from a kid?
Yeah. So they're calling her the Phillies Karen, is what her nickname.
The Phillies Karen.
The Phillies Karen.
I would have called her something else, but...
And my issue is, if you're an adult and you're stealing a baseball from a kid... How low do you have to really be?
Like scum of the earth low.
Yeah,
that's sad, man.
That's so sad. But luckily, the Marlins kind of did this kid a solid. They gave him a giant gift bag of just baseball gear, all that stuff. Well, the cool thing about it is at the very end of the game, Marlins, you know, PR got him. I think Phillies PR got him. Took him, I guess, behind the locker room. Harrison Bader, who hit the home run, gave him his baseball bat and signed it.
Ah.
So a former Cardinal.
Yeah.
That's a class act right there.
Yeah. So Harrison Bader gave his baseball bat to the kid, signed it. But the thing that bothers me the most is there are still adults out there that will do anything for baseball memorabilia and or just souvenirs. Like that's what bothers the living crap out of me. Don't go steal something from a kid.
Yeah, I mean, that moment makes a kid's childhood, right?
Yes.
Like I remember, I'm a victim of this. I remember one time, of course, Fraser, you and I are Cardinals. Mm-hmm. So I was in Busch Stadium. This was right after the World Series season. So
12.
Adam Wainwright was on the mound. He was pitching, I think he was through like 5 shutout innings. He was having an incredible performance. So they took him out. He heads back to the dugout. And I'm sitting there waiting. We're sitting right behind the dugout. I was like, Adam, give me the ball. Can I please have your ball? I wasn't demanding of him. I was... like a kid. So
please give me a ball.
Please give me a ball.
Give me a ball right now.
So he tosses me the ball and some dude just picks me off and runs off.
Yeah. See that right there is terrible. Why?
I didn't get a gift bag from the Cardinals.
Serious question.
Was
a warrant put out for her arrest?
Should have been.
Absolutely. Been. That's terrible.
Sad.
That's awful.
It's
like
sad.
I'm infuriated just hearing that. I didn't even see this.
But I will say, and nothing against Phillies fans, because one of my buddies I went to grade school with and another friend of his, they're all Philly, you know, Philadelphia Phillies, Philadelphia Eagles. That Philly fan base, they're very adamant. They'll let you know that they're Philly fans. But as for that right there, I don't know if that's a reflection of Philadelphia culture, but that's just awful. That does not need to be condoned in any aspect. But yeah, that's one of them. I know it says Fraser's files, so I got another file to get into here. You guys mentioned darts off season, so don't worry about that. Luke Littler's still in great form. As for NRL, the little NRL rugby update, my Brisbane Broncos secured a top 4 spot, so it's top 8 is what you have to make. And so the Sydney Roosters are the last team to make that 8th spot. The Penrith Panthers, the 4-time defending NRL champions, made it into the 6th spot. And unfortunately, Connor's favorite team, the Manly Sea Eagles, did not make the playoff cut. And their probably prize star player, Dally Cherry Evans, is now out. They call him DCE for short. He's now out. He's going into free agency. Very old player. I think he's like 39, 40, close to that. great shape. But the NRL, it's getting down to the grand finals, and the grand finals is like their Super Bowl, and they go into a playoff, and obviously the higher seed has home field advantage, and it's a really fun environment to watch on TV. The last two seasons, I've got to go to the week one opener over there in Las Vegas. They come to Vegas every year now for the next 3 years, going into next February, into February, that is. But yeah, NRL is a great sport to watch when there's not football on. And I just love the broadcast. Broadcast is cool. They have funny personalities. So yeah, that's the other part of Frasier's Files. And yeah, I know what kind of.
This is Australian rugby, correct?
Yes.
Can I cut you off for a second?
Sure.
A little bit of breaking news.
Please.
This is from Diana Russini. Teams like the Vikings, Browns, Broncos, Texans, Bengals, Chiefs, Commanders, 49ers, and your Tennessee Titans and Rams never engaged in substantive trade talks for Micah Parsons.
Hmm.
So it was only the Packers, it looks like.
Interesting.
I am not surprised by that.
It didn't make sense for the timeline that the Titans are in.
Yeah.
Slightly breaking news. Nothing super pressing, but it is interesting to hear that narrative come out. So go ahead. Sorry to interrupt.
Back to rugby, all right? Back to rugby.
No, it's fine. No, Micah Parsons, hopefully he plays this Sunday. I don't know if he'll play. I mean, there a question of him playing?
I think he's questionable.
Yeah.
They play the Lions week one, so no cupcakes to start for them.
Not at all. I just want to go to the text line real quick. Some of the people are responding to the Phillies take.
They're also telling me I'm very young, which is a well-known thing.
It's all right, Connor.
Yes, I was a kid in 2012. I was 8, so if that makes you feel old, then there you go.
It's okay, Josh. Matthew naturally says most Philly sports fans are jerks. I don't know if they're primarily all jerks. I think it's just like the culture in a roundabout way. It's just a very aggressive culture.
Philly fans are passionate. Doesn't matter what the sport. Eagles, Phillies, 76ers, Flyers.
Yeah.
I know one Philly fan, and he is not I don't know how to say this nicely.
Can I cut you off again for more breaking news?
Sure.
Related to your Titans? The Titans are signing safety Amani Hooker to a 3-year, $48.6 million extension.
As expected.
Jeremy Fowler.
Yeah.
Good for Amani Hooker.
Jeremy Fowler seems to be the local reporter around here. Man,
he's
the
team beat.
He's a great person. Jeremy Fowler, he's very nice.
Did you talk to him?
I did. Us tall guys, he's very tall. He's 6'4". So us tall guys have to stick together. He's a very nice person, though.
So there you go. I'll make sure to bring my step stool.
So there you go. 27-year-old Amani Hooker is here for 3 more years. So that'll take him to his age 30 season. He will be here until 2028. Contractually. Obviously, things can change through trades. Sorry, I'm sorry to derail your Frasier Files with some breaking news that came out.
That's okay. I can just add it to the Frasier Files.
There you go.
That's okay. No big deal.
It's files, plural.
It is.
Not just one.
Plural. But yeah, NRL season, it's coming to an end. This is the last week, so this weekend's the last week of the regular season. And then grand final starts next week, so excited.
The grand final.
So hopefully the Brisbane Broncos can redeem some glory here and win it all. One more thing about that, my favorite player, his name is Reese Walsh. Supposedly he drank toilet water this past week, and he scored 22 of the 30 points. So everybody's like, just drink toilet water again.
Was it an accident?
No, I don't think so.
I'm sorry, I tuned out for a second. I heard, let's drink toilet water.
No, he drank
one of my favorite players for the Broncos, Brisbane Broncos. He apparently took a video of him drinking toilet water. It was just really weird.
Oh.
I don't know.
615-737-1025 is our phone number if you want to chime in on the conversation.
Supposedly local media says it's a thing going on right now, so I don't know if that's a phase.
Let's stop this right now.
I'm
not going to Australia anytime soon.
Australia's not a real place. Coming up next, we unleashed our poll question last night. You could still vote. It's still up. It'll be up for the rest of the day. But we'll get an update on the results right now. Our poll question over on our Twitter account, who is the best quarterback in the NFC? Is it Jalen Hurts, Jaden Daniels, Dak Prescott, or other? For the 13.2% of you that say other, I expect a text who that is and why. But that's coming up next here in the second hour of Weekend Huddle. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly here with you on 102.5 The Game.